Fred Film Radio, International Film Festival, Rotterdam, Netherlands.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2019 International Film Festival, Rotterdam. Very pleased to be joined by filmmaker Itai Tal. Thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
Presenting the film God of the Piano. The first question that I would ask you is, would you be kind enough to maybe tell our listeners a little bit about the film?
Yeah, so the God of the Piano is about a pianist, a classical pianist named Anat, and she actually never fulfilled her father's musical expectations, like her father's musical standards. So all her hope for fulfillment is dependent on the embryo that is in her womb, that is not born yet. When he is born, he's born deaf. He cannot hear, and she will do anything she can to make her son the composer that her father always wanted.
Mm. Do you have any personal connections with the story?
I'm not really. Like, I had to research a lot to get to know the, you know, the classical music world. I knew, like, I had a feeling about it, but I had, like, to research a lot. How does it go? How does this world work? Like, what is considered good? Like, what do people strive for there? But it always was a very good, I felt it was a very good sub-base for this, like, for this story, for this wound that Anat, the main character of the film, carries with her.
In researching the classical world, did you find many similarities with the film world?
Yes, I did. You know, I think the film world can be very, very tough sometimes, like very, very hard. But I think the classical music can be even more stiff. You know, it can be even, like, kind of not easy and even more competitive, more demanding. You know, there's something, I think, when art carries with it, like, a lot of history, maybe, like, you know, carries, like, a decade, like, hundred of years of, like, development, and it can get, like, very, very, I don't know, it can carry weight with it, you know? It can carry, and the people who practice this art, like, they are kind of obliged to carry those weights with them, unless they can truly see, you know, and can truly, like, get kind of free out of it and start enjoy. Like, I think that one of the things that I really wanted to portray in my film is how we can, like, misinterpret art, how we can misinterpret music. If you look at it, like, on the verb that you use for playing music, it's like playing, and sometimes I think we forget, like, what playing really means. It's like we can play to gain a social status, we can play to gain love, we can play, but we forget to play just for the playing of it, for doing it. I think that it doesn't have to do only with music. It has to do with any art or any other, like, you know, job that or endeavor that someone does. It's like kind of experiencing what you do and not only as a means to an end.
Sure. In your film, you also have, of course, the genetic barriers, let's call them, that genetic thing, that the theme that you explore.
Yeah, it might be hard, like, to talk about it without spoiling, but it's also talking about sometimes our mind being very narrow and very looking at things from a very, very specific angle. When you're talking about genes or, like, where the genes are coming from, then it's, you know, it's kind of, I think it's a very gray zone, and it's like, I think in the film itself, like, the way that the genes are presented is like, on the one hand, someone takes the genes and thinks that this is like a very significant thing. This is what talent comes from. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, I think I really try to refute this. Like, I really try to say, not necessarily. Maybe it's kind of overestimated, but the thing is, there is like to see the doubt.
Yes.
Yeah, to see the doubt in like in a specific angle. Also, I think that the major thing that I tried to see doubt in, or like to to shatter the reality of the world is actually the world of the music in the way that the main characters look at it. I mean, I try to shatter this world that this is like all there is.
Yeah, I understand. But in fact, it's almost like not only genes, but also just a more spiritual sort of predestination, or you know, the way that art sometimes is accosted to the divine, something that is unknown, and yet in this film it doesn't seem to be that either.
But the funny thing, I do think art is, divine is like a very like big word. Yeah, it's already, I think it's already contaminated. Like God is already contaminated. But there is something kind of that is, I'm thinking of myself, writing this film, writing this script. It's like I cannot really take credit for it. Mm. I mean, I can. We're living in this world, and this is my film. But it's kind of, I was just staying open to something. Yeah, I was just staying open to thoughts coming through my head and writing them down. And I think that if you would think about it, then I would say, okay, I understood that once this idea came to mind, I understood that it's my calling to make it. Mm. Yeah, it's my destiny. Quotation. Like it's so... In the film, I it wasn't that, I tried to say there is no thing as like a destiny or that there isn't such a thing that you are predestined to do something, because, sometimes there is. I mean, there are many artists who say, wow, they give a really, really nice gift to the world, and this seems like it's their true calling. The problem begins when someone isn't allowed to discover his true calling, when someone is forced to live the calling of his parents or the calling of someone else who is responsible for him, because his wantings, his like cravings are like diminished, are set aside, because this is what's, in a lot of loving homes today, not only like, abusive homes. A lot of loving homes, we've got this, this is what's good for you. You should do this. And in some cases, this is good that what we do, because you have to prepare the child for life. Yeah. But in some cases, like the child start to develop his own will, his own wantings. And sometimes we parents may portray their own will on a whole different creature this is not his calling. Is a different creature.
And so it's almost like not only the will, but also the fears.
Yeah.
Insecurity.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. This can be... The crazy thing is it can like just pass from generation to generation. Yeah. This is kind of a wound that, someone portrayed his wanting on me or his fear on me, and I carry it with me. And it can, a whole life can pass through, and you're with this demon inside of you, not even asking yourself, what do I want? Because sometimes it's like a very kind of a cursed word. What does want has to do with life? This is what you need to do.
But what about as a director then? Do you risk doing something like that? Do you ever feel like you do impose your will or insecurities on your actors? Or do you fight? Do you try to fight that desire?
There are sometimes where it's hard to say that I'm imposing something on the actors, but it's hard. It's very easy to say, let everyone do what they want, right? It's a free world, but it doesn't work like that. Like, when you're on set and you imagine something and you want the scene to be like you imagined it and like the thing that will work for the film, you sometimes have to... Yeah, to tell an actor or to tell a crew member, this is the way it is. We don't have time like now for more ideas. This is how we do it. But it's not always about like the a specific moment in the film. It's usually I'm talking about something a bit larger than that, about like the actor wanting to be in the film. He wants he wants to be that character. He wants to portray that character. The crew member being there because he wants to, because he has an interest to do it. And so, of course, that you have to, like, you know, twitch things and, like, sometimes get into very uncomfortable situations where you have to just say, this is the way we do it. Mm. But also, I think, you know, if we compare it to parenting, for example, then also a lot of situations you have to to set limits. I mean, a child without limits is not good. Like, he won't have a good life. It's like this gray zone between the limits and the freedom that you give him. And as a parent, you have to have, like, also expectations. Like, the director has to have expectations of his actor. Mm. Expect him to perform in a certain way. Expect him to prepare himself in a certain way. Expect, like, the crew members to perform in a certain way. But it doesn't say that you don't allow them freedom. It doesn't say that, like, Meydan Rama, who shot the film, who did, like, I think, you know, half of... I won't say half, like... A lot of what this film is achieving now is thanks to him. Mm. And also, I would say that part of it is because he got also a lot of, like, freedom of thought.
Right.
And a lot of what the actresses, Nama, her performance is, like, so, for me, at least, you know, when watching it, it's, like, so convincing, and so it's because she did get freedom at a lot of places. Yeah. And she also, you know, she also, like, suggested, like, sometimes like, ideas for the script. Like, one scene, for example, is her scene that she made up, or also Meydan, like, he did, like, made up a scene, which was, like, I think that it's like this balance between, you know, listening to your own voice, but then again, staying open to ideas, staying open to...
Yeah, speaking of her performance, I found her to be emotionally restrained, as opposed to a similar sort of themed film, which was made a long time ago by Luchino Visconti, Anna Magnani, starring Bellissima, about a mother who imposes... almost forces her child to become an actress. Mm. Or just a celebrity, you know, a child actor.
Yeah.
And, well, Anna Magnani is famously just emotional, you know, shamelessly emotional, as Dieterle said.
Yeah.
And in this case, we see the complete opposite of that. How do you think that works for the story?
I can say, you know, I can say as a viewer, I could now that I watched it on the big screen, I can, you know, experience at least certain parts of the film as a viewer. And I can say that that I think that for me it works very well. Like, I'm very, like, at peace with this choice that we've made in the film, like, to keep her very, very restrained, keep the emotions, like, very, very hidden. Mm. Underground, because it's like and it's not, you know, I can say it's a choice, but it's not really a choice. Like, this is the character that I saw when starting to write the film. This is the character I saw. I understood, like, what she's like, or what she's forced to behave like. Because, I mean, her childhood wasn't that easy. Or very, very hard. Her childhood, she needed, like, to, you know, to hide all her emotions, or through will, or through, you know, calling. She needed to hide it, because otherwise, how can you survive? Like, you know, if you're expected to behave in a certain way, but you want something else as a child, what, like, you know, what options do you have? Thing is that we think we leave house, we leave home, and these things disappear completely, but we still hold on to them.
Yeah.
And actually, I think that's the thing that I really wanted to show, is that there are a lot of, like, paths to freedom, you know, to free yourself of these, like, patterns. Mm-hmm. I mean, also I want to say that it's not like in every house like this. Yeah, it's a specific story. Yeah, it's about a specific family.
Sure.
But I think it is kind of like a human wound, like something that a lot of us carry, with us, like this shoving our feelings, like putting them in a box and like hiding them and never know that they're there. Mm. All our dreams that like we're never daring to look at, because in our childhood it was like there wasn't space for that. There wasn't like a room for that kind of thing.
Well, we went a little over the time, but it was a pleasure talking with you about the film, and it inspired great conversations. I think a lot of people who watch it will also be inspired to think about a lot of things. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thanks a lot. This is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.